right, friends. It's your favorite part of the episode and mine. It's time for Trope Off.
Yeah, it's been a little while since our last episode, so it's been a little while since we last checked in. But I also missed a couple weekends because life happened. So, you know, it's not that many to catch up on, but it's a few. One of the life things that happened was my dog having a birthday party with her siblings, which we try to do once a year, but haven't been able to do for a couple of years because of COVID. So hit me up if you want to see pictures of that in lieu of getting to do a Trope Off that weekend. I am sorry. An apology. I can offer dog pictures. But last time we talked, we were in the middle of Fix It versus Wrong Number / Texting AU. Do you have a prediction?
I'm thinking, no, because I can see it going either way. Just tell me.
Fix It took it with 62%.
Okay, way higher. I thought that was going to be more of a nail biter.
Me too.
Okay.
Like a Wrong Number Texting AU is popular.
I think, and I feel like you and I talked about this maybe either in the last episode or offline, but like that one to me goes in waves.
Yeah.
So we might just be at a one of it at the moment.
Yeah. And so I can't confirm if that means Wrong Number Texting AU is out. I think that might be its first loss.
Okay.
So it comes back later, but yeah, that's a hit. And that surprised me just because, I mean, I don't think that I really have an emotional connection with Fix It as a term. I think I missed the boat on that. And like for other people, it's a very important term that means something to them. And I feel okay. Like I don't connect with it as a concept. So fundamentally, that might be why I'm surprised, which I shouldn't be.
That's fair. For it actually bothers me as a concept, because for me, that's implying that canon is broken by a decision you don't care for.
Yeah.
And I just see canon so elastically, and like I reject it wholeheartedly all the time whenever I feel like it. But I don't ever want to say that canon, this is my thing. The longer I'm in fandom, the more I try to avoid saying things like canon is broken or canon is wrong or canon is garbage. I don't reject canon because it's garbage. I reject canon because it's much more fun for me to create my own.
Yeah. And we differ in that, and that I fucking love canon and I'm very attached to it. And if I change it, it's just for the exploration of it and not because I want to fix it. If I didn't like it that much, this wouldn't be a fandom I was in. I think that's my thing. If I felt that canon was fundamentally broken, I would not want to read fic and be part of it.
Yeah, I think that's a summary of what it comes down to for me. Because like there are elements of canon that I love, and like obviously I still write canon fics, and like so much of this thing between the two of us is me being hyperbolic and pedantic. But I think Twilight canon is broken and damaging, and like how it ends is poor. I do think that. I'm not in Twilight fandom.
I've never read a Twilight fandom. I love how you picked Twilight. I think, I don't know if you saw the conversation, it's potentially specifically to attack me because I'm writing a Twilight AU right now, like a Twilight Stony AU. It's very different. Twilight was very formative for me, but just the first book I didn't really like. I mean, I read them all, but like the first book was such an id massaging romance for me at like 19 or whatever I was when I read it, that like it was like masturbatory, because like you know how much I like vampires, and the idea of a sad vampire guy who is so attracted to the protagonist that he can't contain himself is just like, yeah, that's, yeah, like okay
in
a bottle, like sure. So
completely fair. So this is where I am that very key, like 5 years older than you. And so I was in grad school when it came out, and I was a youth worker.
Yeah, it came out when I was starting college. So I was going through like that transition. I was living in my own apartment for the first time.
Yeah.
I was in my like second year of college, I think. And it was like, I need the absolute like free id experience right now, or I'm going to cry.
And yeah, I don't, let me be very, very clear. I have no problems with anybody being in the Twilight fandom or Twilight as a thing. I use it as an example. So from a sociological perspective, all I saw was like toxic purity culture all over it, because that's the lens that I saw it from.
Yeah.
And then the more I learn about Stephenie Meyer, the more I learn that that's actually what it was.
Heavy so vibes.
Like, oh, did I get evangelical vibes? Because that was what it was. And so when I see how it ended with, especially with the imprinting and everything else, to me, it's like everything.
She had sex and was for the first time and was immediately punished for it.
Immediately like, punished for it. Immediately punished for it. To the extent where baby like
that down.
Clawed her way out of it. Yeah. All of that. I was just like, oh, this is the worst end to every terrible thing I was taught. And so that's why I say it's broken and I don't want to engage with it. That's where it comes from. And I like literally wrote papers in grad school on Twilight and on 50 Shades of Grey and all of that, because it's my profession. It's my sweet spot. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I don't engage. You're right. I wouldn't engage with it. I don't think Harry Potter canon is broken. I'm annoyed by much of it, but I still play around in it because I like it. So my thing with Fix It is, with Marvel especially, is that to me it's this really often, and I'm not saying that anyone who is listening uses it this way at all, but I have seen it used this way enough that like I twitch a little, where this is part of the like everything, like anything I don't care for was wrong discourse that happened a lot around Civil War and Endgame.
I get twitchy too. I think that like, because I fundamentally believe that fandom is a love letter to canon. And if you don't want to write a love letter to canon, I wouldn't be in the fandom. Like, as I say, as much as Twilight was important for me, I've never ever read a Twilight fanfic ever. Like, I just had absolutely no interest in it. Cause for me, I just wanted like those couple of like the car scene and the meadow scene. Just flip through them now and then because it scratches something, but it didn't create a world where I was like, oh, I just want to spend all day in here. And that's like the fundamental difference between something I end up in the fandom for and something I don't. So yeah, the idea of a fix it is like, I either don't care enough to want to fix it, or it was fine as its own thing that I could just consume and move on with my life. Or it smacks the roof of the car again. If you could fit so much in this bad boy, then that's where I want to be. And that's not a fix it to me. That's a transform it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, this is where, yeah, I want to always transform it. I don't think it's my right to fix it, because if whoever created it doesn't see it as broken.
Yeah.
So I'm coming along and
this, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah. So like I'm coming along and transforming it. I can't fundamentally fix it because the glue isn't mine.
You can't actually alter what canon was.
Yeah. So it just itches me. And like this, yeah, I'm sure this is sounding,
that's just how we feel.
Yeah. This is sounding really like, if this is your true love, rock on. Obviously we feel differently about canon, very famously, especially during the Steve Tony games. Where I'm just like, listen, all of you motherfuckers are doing AUs because all of this is transformative. And people are like, no, I mean, this is all very personal. We talked about in the AU versus canon episode. So this is all very personal stuff. This just happens to be one of the areas in which we align more closely than some other areas where we fight.
Yeah. And, you know, I think your perception of what fix it means to you depends a lot on what fandoms you have been in up till now, because I think it is one of those things that kind of has dialectal differences, with the dialects being regional in the sense of fandoms and not physical location.
That makes total sense. Yeah. And I have a much smaller fandom history than a lot of people who are listening to this, I know, because I didn't dip into anime or comics until the pandemic. So like, I'm still new.
Yeah. And like coming like the early fandoms I was in like 20 years ago, Fix It was a bit of a derogatory, like it wasn't derogatory towards the thing that like the piece that was a Fix It, but if you wrote a Fix It, you the implication was that you were sticking up your middle finger at canon in some way. So I think that's probably why, as a term, it kind of, for me, it has negative connotations. Because
That's a really great point. Yeah, because that's what Harry Potter was when I was in it. Like, fix it. When I was in those communities on Fiction Alley and everything else, it was saying that Rowling was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which she's wrong about a lot of things, but we're not going to go into that here. Like,
yeah, we are avowedly anti J.K. Rowling as a human's perspective here on Pot on the Suit, just to clarify.
Yeah. There are a lot of things to fix there. Anywho, you know, dialectal discussions aside, the next one I think is a little bit clearer, and also had a very clear winner, but neither I think is a favorite that's going to sadly go on very far. But we had humor/crack versus major character death, which is basically opposite ends of the spectrum, though I'm sure both have been done together. But I just think that for so many people, major character death is a big absolute no, that I'm not at all surprised. I suspect that for many people who clicked humor, they don't even read crack necessarily, but they know they definitely don't read major character death. And a lot of things might not be like genre classified as humor or crack, but are still funny. Like, I try to make almost everything I write funny, at least sometimes, even though I wouldn't say that I write humor or crack.
Yeah, I don't write humor or crack. I definitely don't write crack. I barely even read it, but everything I write is funny on some level for sure. It's really interesting because I was having this conversation about your relationship with humor, like as a person in a Clubhouse room this week. And I made the statement like that there are, like, I believe very deeply that there is no topic that you cannot infuse with humor, because humor is so broad. Like, there are topics that, like, slapstick jokes are not appropriate, but there's definitely nothing that you can't do humor with. And I think, again, like, even in some of the darkest dark fic I've read, like, you have, you know, Tony making a sarcastic quip, like, that's still funny.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's one of those, like, add a little salt to your cake because it brings out the sugar,
the flavor.
Like,
yeah,
it works the other way too, where if something's very dark, having moments of humor actually make the chocolate darker and bitterer, you know?
Yeah, because you just remember, like, there's a term called gallows humor is a term for a reason.
Yeah. So Will I Do the Fandango fan actually did have a comment on this one, and they said, I think this may be the one time where I didn't even hesitate. Ha ha ha. I can't do major character death unless there's a temporary in front of it. And I have to say that sums up my feelings too. I love presumed dead and temporary character death, where, like, one of them is desperately grieving because, you know me, her comfort. But I need that comfort.
A few times, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. A little bit, just then. Yeah. No one's surprised. But I do need the comfort at the end. I've read some major character death fix, and I tend to need to lie face down on the floor for a while after, which generally isn't the vibe I'm going for when I'm reading fix. So, but I'm in awe of people who, you know, can do that without feeling crushed.
Yeah, it's interesting. My relationship with reading fic, like, at the beginning, I only read fluff, and now I read major character death as much as I read anything else, because I chase authors a lot right now, and that just happens to be the mood I'm in as we're talking. And I was doing a deep dive into a couple dark fic tags. I still don't do Dead Dove stuff. So if it's MCD and Dead Dove, like, I still kind of go, I don't know if that's the jam. But I've read some really gut-wrenching MCD recently where I'm just like, man, that was beautifully, beautifully crafted. But, like, I very famously do not emotionally react to fics. So I also wanted to see if, like, that counted for major character death. And it does. And I think it's really interesting because I was just like, oh, this is really fun. There's like 400,000 more fics. So of course this one isn't permanent. Let me go read the next thing this person wrote. which is not everyone else's relationship with fandom at all. And I think I don't know if I could ever write major character death. I don't know, but it would be an interesting, I did it, like, I killed Peter off in a Stony fic and watched them grieve as husbands. But it would be, I don't know which major character I would have die. and then write the grieving, because I do like writing grieving. I like writing it a lot.
Me too.
So.
I don't know if I actually said the numbers, but humor took it with 84% to major character deaths. 16.
Yeah, that fits.
Next up, I'm absolutely stunned by this. We have the second tie of Trope Off 2. And we only had one tie in Trope Off 1, and it was near the end when things were getting hanky. And we've already had, we're not even like, I think we're like maybe a third of the way through round two, maybe a little bit more. And we've had two ties already. This is crazy, but crossovers tied with Space AU, 50-50.
Okay.
Yeah. So we know that fan voted for Space AU.
Betsy, how many Twitter profiles did fan create to vote for Space AU?
But there was also some discussion about what classified as a crossover.
Okay.
And I mean, as is the tradition on Trope Off, I do not clarify what I mean by any of the tropes. But I will say my definition of crossover versus fusion is that a fusion is when you bring a quality, an aspect, a world building element, or what have you, over from another property, or the characters from one property into the world of another property. So like a Harry Potter fusion with Stony would be like, they go to Hogwarts, like they are students at Hogwarts. Like it's an AU that is set in Harry Potter universe, but using Marvel and Marvel characters as the like driving fanfic force. And a crossover is when both worlds exist in the canon of the story and interact in some way.
Yeah, like, yeah. So for me, a Harry Potter crossover would be that the wizards help fight Thanos.
Yeah, so like, yeah, Harry and Hermione and Ron show up. Matt, in Endgame, they come through one of the portals, you know, what have you. One of those things.
Or oh, I have to write that story now.
Yeah, there you go. And I think that's kind of like an old school definition of the difference. I don't see fusion used very much anymore as a term. I think crossover may have slightly eaten fusion and people use it for both. But we also tend to say a blank AU instead of a fusion.
Yeah, I was about to say, I feel like the difference now is between a crossover and an AU.
Yeah, and the thing
in terms of like the dialectical, like what people are saying.
Yeah, because we use AU to mean so many things, but when it's a like an IP AU, so like a Pacific Rim AU, a Harry Potter AU, you know, then we're saying it's a fusion in some way. But so we can assume that some of that 50% might be people who were imagining fusions. But yeah, we're gonna have to do another tiebreaker. Wild, crazy. You guys just don't want Trope Off round two to end, so you're going to tie as often as possible, so we have to have more tiebreakers. I get it, Trope Off is amazing, but like someone has to win, so clam down. We have one more completed head to head, and we're not going to have a whole lot to say about it because it was Fix It up again against Unrequited, and Fix It took it 75-25. And I think we've talked about both of these already with like the question of whether unrequited feelings can be resolved and still fall under this heading. Again, I'm not going to clarify. That's up to you. But I, for me, I am a person who I don't particularly like reading about unrequited feelings that don't have a happy ending in some way. Like it's not, like it doesn't turn out that there really are requited, in which case I probably wouldn't tag it unrequited feelings. Like maybe it's like the major character death thing. If it's presumed or temporary, I'm in. If it's not, I generally find that like emotionally unsatisfying to read.
I have like the classic of that is Eponine in Les Mis. She is the epitome of unrequited love. You can't give me a better story than that, and I'm good.
Flame is good. But yeah, it got its ass kicked by kissed. Wishful thinking. It got its ass kicked by Fix It. So Fix It's like rocketing through and it's leaving destruction in its wake.
I'm going to be chewing on this because I think there's something about the season of fandom we're in, especially in Stony fandom, of why that is particularly going so strong right now. I'm gonna chew on that.
Amazing if I could, like, if we could rerun Trope Off often enough that we could get like chronological data as well of like different ages of fandom. Like,
well, I mean, we can. You have the power to do this.
I know, but like, there's gonna be a point at which there aren't enough people responding that it's statistically significant. Like, it would be interesting to compare fandom to fandom, but like, ideally, I would have started it like 10 years ago and
sure.
be doing working some old tropes back into new rounds as we go, so that they are getting compared both to new tropes and to the new environment of the day, kind of thing. Anyway,
I don't know. I have interns. I'm sure I can make some of them run the statistical deviation on this.
Yeah, let's write a book about Trope Off.
This is our second book proposal in the last 3 hours.
One way or another, we're writing a book together, you guys. It's just probably not going to end up being what you think it is.
No. Also, we still have not managed to write a fic together, but we've now put together two book proposals.
We wrote a fic together. You wrote that Stucconi.
Oh, that's true. We wrote that Stucconi one. I'm sorry. I apologize.
So, but I get your point.
But it feels on brand for us to have giant, massive projects that require at least 7 other people to help us with it, and the thing that the two of us could do alone, we're like, we'll get around to it
someday. Yeah.
Oh man, we're fun.
Valid. Yeah.
Okay, so as people are listening right now in this last week of July, because we're professionals and getting this absolutely in Steve's birth month,
it's the month that counts, not the day.
What is going on right now?
So this weekend, right now, as you listen, if you're listening to it as soon as it came out, there is a Trope Off up. I will not forget it. And it is an interesting one. It's nothing we've talked about recently. We are looking at Breakup and Makeup versus Mpreg.
Oh, a Sophie's choice for me.
Yeah. I think some people are going to find that hard and some people are going to find that very easy.
Very easy. Yeah. No. Yeah, my guess is that I will predict that that this will not be a surprise to anyone.
Yeah, and next time we should talk about Breakup and Makeup. I'm sure we've talked about it already, but like, it's a trope that I love so much and I want to write nothing but that, but I find it really, really hard.
Yeah, we've talked about it a little bit, but again, I can't remember if that was when we were recording or not.
Such is our lives. We do spend a little bit of time together. Like
every day,
just a little bit every day at work and then after work
on at least 2 different messaging platforms and Zoom.
Yeah.
But yeah, I will say, because I remember talking to you about this a little bit, so preview for the next episode, in that we talked about like the balance between, I love writing it where it like you combine it with a second chance,
yeah,
vibe of like, it just didn't, it was timing is why they broke up, or a complete misunderstanding.
Yeah.
And those 2 things I can write forever.
Yeah. So and I like really leaning into why they broke up. Like for me, that is so critical to the whole thing that like the entire planning of the premise will be around the reason why they broke up.
Yeah.
And
I know we talked about it because this is where my divorced dad's fucking series came from.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Nice.
Yeah. So I know we talked about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I've got ideas that combine both of these because I have ABO ideas that are, they have a child and they've broken up and they're going to get back together in the story. So like, I'm into this. I like them both. I find Mpreg way easier to write. I find that super easy to write.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But, and I've written a fair amount of it. Which if you'd asked me like 15 years ago, I would have been like, not my thing. And now I'm just like, yeah, no problem. I can turn that out. Breakup and Makeup. Fucking love it. Struggle to write it. So
I love it. That could be a fun one to tackle together legitimately though.
Yeah. 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 That would be a good one.
Yeah. Cause it's something that I don't struggle with writing the premise as much. Cause I don't know. I think this also comes like, I read 400 million romance novels.
Yeah.
So yeah. Watch this space, friends. The next Flare It fic collab.
I mean, something's coming out of us. We just don't know what it's going to be or when. And whether it's going to be fanfic or nonfic or nonfiction. Or I don't know. Like,
I don't know. The universe is stuck with the two of us together.
You know,
we keep like the answer is probably yes. And we're going to be doing all of these things. Yeah. What'll be interesting is like, if we fall into another fandom together.
Yeah. I mean, I know nobody wants us to talk about that on this podcast, but I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, we both do love Check Please, but we haven't like fallen face first.
I find it hard because my favorite ship is not hugely popular and it's like the only thing I am interested in. So until that blows up, which it won't because it's over, I'm not going to get like, there's not going to be a resurgence that pulls me in. Like I was in when at the peak of my ship and now it's like, okay, cool. No one's making anything else for that. So
no.
On with ye.
On with ye. Yeah, it'll be interesting. But if nothing else, we will always have conversations about time traveling Steve.
Yeah. And even if we don't record them, you can know we're out in the universe having them together.
Having them somewhere.
We spend a lot of time together.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that is Trope Off. Please vote and follow me on Twitter and come back every weekend. And if I miss one, y'all can remind me. It's cool. We don't have to just pretend it didn't happen. Sometimes I'm having a dog birthday party, as one does, and it's a little occupying, but like, you know, it's one tweet. I can make it happen.
Things I didn't know existed before I met you. Dog sibling birthday parties. You've just made my life so rich, Farrah.
I mean, I'll be honest, it's something I had never done before. So maybe on our next drunk episode, I can talk all about what it's like adopting a dog that comes with an entire family.
Oh, that's a good one. I'll write that down. That's a good story.
Okay. Anywho, vote, and we will see you next time for approximately 4 to 6 Trope Off updates.
We're professionals. 9 on episode 9. Thanks to Owlish Fun for chatting with me and to Mrs. Moody Bear for the yummy art.
Don't forget to vote in Trope Off. And if you want to continue the conversation, you can join our Discord or hit us up on any of our socials.
Thanks as always for listening, and we'll see you sometime in August for episode 10. Bye. You've been listening to Pod on the Suit. Thanks for joining us.